This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We are now joined in the studio by Anna Kokkinos. Anna Kokkinos' first feature film... Her first feature film was Head On, the highly acclaimed and much loved film starring Alex Dimitrianis as a young, angry Greek-Australian gay man. And his next film was The Book of Revelation, a confronting exploration of gender politics and sexuality. Her latest film, Blessed, which opens next week, is about children and their mothers. Anna's films are bold, confronting and distinctively Melbourne. She is one of Australia's most important contemporary directors, and we are thrilled to have her on The Casting Culture with us today. Thank you for joining us, Anna.
It's great to be here. Welcome. It's lovely to come back.
Thank you. Now, Anna, for those listeners who have not yet had the opportunity to see Blessed, if they missed it at the Melbourne International Film Festival where it debuted, just give us a bit of an idea about what the film is about.
Blessed is a film about mothers and children. It's an interesting film because we tell that story through... a number of characters. It's an ensemble film, a multi-character film. And we tell that story in two parts. We start by really following a day in the life of seven children. And as they go through that particular day and night, they increasingly find themselves in some kind of peril, whether that's emotional peril or some kind of physical peril. As we go into the night, we then go back over the same day and night, and we actually then tell the story from the mother's point of view. And we see the way in which the mothers go through their particular journeys through that same time frame, and we begin to realise that these mothers are in different ways are struggling to look after their kids. But I guess we also discover things about the mothers that deepens our kind of understanding of these disparate families. And but by the end of that night, a whole lot of things happen. Some children find their way home and some don't.
It's an intriguing approach to storytelling. And now, Blessed began as an adaptation of the multi-authored play Who's Afraid of the Working Class. Now, I get the impression that there was quite a significant transformation in the script as the project evolved. How different is the final film to the original source material?
It's interesting because the play was written by four writers. They all wrote four stories and a number of other sort of incidental stories around really themes about people kind of, you know, ordinary people, working class people, dealing with a whole range of issues. And one of the things that I loved about the play is that the writing gave the each and every character a certain kind of level of intelligence and kind of humour. And also a sense of, you know, these characters kind of having great courage and dignity. And that was the thing that really struck me. As we started to really kind of tackle the way in which we were going to then tell this story cinematically, we just found that we had this sort of, you know, great bunch of characters, but it wasn't quite hanging together as a screenplay. And so I kind of stepped back and had a bit of a think about the thing that really emotionally connected me to the play. And when I thought deeply about that, the story that really kind of struck me was one of the stories, which is around a single mum, Rhonda, and her two kids, Orton and Stacey. And there's a line in the film where she says, "They're my blessings and you're not to touch them."
It's an amazing moment in the film.
And it's a very evocative statement. And I guess on some level I thought, well, you know, every child is a mother's blessing. Every child is a blessing to any parent. So I kind of said, you know, I think I went back to the writers and I kind of said, you know, I've got a feeling that maybe what we're really doing is telling a story about mothers and children. And that might be the way to kind of bind all these characters together. So that was kind of a huge breakthrough for us. It was right. It was kind of like an epiphany moment because we thought, well, you know, we've done really well, but it's not quite working, and maybe we should sort of abandon it completely.
Because all the characters, they're still working class or lower middle class characters. Or actually, what Sarah Watt refers to now is the non-ruling class, which I think is a beautiful description for that demographic.
Yeah.
And it does feel now that the film is bigger than simply a socio-economic statement. It's the themes are grander.
Yeah, and I think the fabric, I mean, those initial ideas about class and also those initial ideas about people, kind of ordinary people dealing with sort of, you know, sort of daily life, you know, we very much kept that, and that's subtly weaved in all the way through, you know, the very fabric and sort of texture of the film. But I think that the core theme of mothers and children is so much more universal, and I think broadens the kind of the perspective of the film.
And one of the other things that's really quite prevalent in your films, and in this one included, is music. And the score in this is quite evocative and quite beautiful, and it's work that's been done by Cesare Skubiszewski. Excuse me for the pronunciation. How important is it for you to include music like this in the film?
Well, this was a really interesting score for Cesare to tackle because I kind of wanted a certain sparseness in terms of the music.
Yeah.
And I also really felt that as we were cutting the film, it became really clear that we needed one theme to bind all the stories together. And because we go over the same day and night, because we kind of, you know, we have these beautiful sort of moments where we capture the children sleeping in the morning, and then when we go to the mother's story, we capture the beautiful moments of them sleeping before they all rise to kind of confront the day. It really kind of, we started to work with the idea of how to really kind of bind them together through a very haunting, very evocative and very emotional score, because in a funny kind of way, we're sort of telling one story, even though we're telling it through a number of different characters. And so that gave us a beautiful kind of emotional unity for the whole film.
And it's sort of, in terms of the narrative as well, many of the characters have a strong connection to music, and they all find solace in music in some very pivotal scenes.
Well, we're going to hear that theme now. Anna, can you stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Brilliant. This is the theme from Blessed by Cesare Skubiszewski. You're here on The Casting Couch with Mark and Thomas, and we're very lucky to be joined by Anna Kokonos, the director of Blessed, from which that piece of music is from. Now, Anna, the casting for any movie is important, but in a movie like this, where you've got so many characters and each of the characters is so complex in their own right, the casting is absolutely integral, and I understand the process that was involved with this film went for 8 months. Just run us through the process that you went through.
It was a long process, and it was one of those kind of things where you think, I have to get every casting decision right here. And it was really complicated because I had ideas about who I wanted to have play the mothers. And I kind of really thought very deeply. I sat back and thought, who are the actresses I'd love to work with, and also who are the actresses that really feel right for those particular roles?
Yeah.
And I was very lucky because when I sent the script to Frances O'Connor and Miranda Otto and Deborah Lee Furness and Victoria Haralabidou, they all really responded. And they all kind of naturally responded to the roles that I thought they should they should play.
Yeah.
So that was a really great response. The kids were really kind of, that was the biggest kind of job. I really cast the net widely. I saw some 500-600 kids.
Amazing.
And the kids that are in the film just kept impressing me every time they came in for an audition. Mm-hmm. So we went through a very rigorous kind of process because I also knew these kids were taking on really meaty roles. It's not like they're just sort of like background or just sort of, you know, sort of waft through the lounge room and say, hi, Mum. These kids have really got big journeys in the film. Really lucky to find these kind of really talented kids, very raw. You know, some kids had done some, you know, a little bit of screen work before, but not much. So it's kind of a risk, but you kind of just have to go through a really big process just to make sure that they, you know, they can do it. And then you've got to set up a really kind of great rehearsal process for
them. Yeah, now you did set up quite an extensive rehearsal process, and you actually rehearsed in family units so that the actors were able to develop their own relationships with each other. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, look, that was a great way to go because the first thing is that, you know, the kids were so excited about working with these actors, you know.
These are huge names.
Yeah. You know, I remember the kids coming in and saying, oh, my God, I'm working with Frances O'Connor and, oh, my God, you know, my mum is Miranda Otto. It was really – so initially there was that kind of whole, oh, my God, you know, and they're really nervous. So the first thing you got to do is just get the kids having a good time and relaxing and, you know, and all the actresses were just incredibly generous and understood, you know, and very welcoming and kind of really open. But really within a couple of hours, everyone was fine. You know, we just got into stuff. They really relaxed and in a way really loved, you know, the intensity of the work and they just got a lot of pleasure out of it. So that part of it was quite lovely, you know. You know, we just went kind of through each journey and through each family's journey so that the kids really had a strong connection to their mothers, their screen mothers. And then I did separate work with them as well, just to kind of keep them kind of, you know, teaching them stuff as well as, you know, I guess in some ways being mentor and mum and dad to them as well.
I mean, I imagine there's an amazing amount of trust that had to develop between everybody involved in some of these scenes.
A huge amount of trust, and you've got to let that, you've got to set up the right process for that trust to kind of really happen. I mean, this doesn't automatically happen. It's like it's very much an earned thing by everybody. And that trust becomes integral, and also it's really about creating a very safe place for the actors to really feel that they can do stuff and put it out there and be held in all the right ways.
Now, imagine you've got a bit of experience doing this kind of thing now because all your films are quite challenging, confronting films for both the audience and the performers. So, I mean, do you have a formula or a specific way that you now approach this material?
It's interesting. Every time I do a new film, I really think very deeply about what I think that film needs. Obviously, you draw on past experience and, you know, techniques and things that you've learnt. I mean, one of the great things about this film is that I have worked with kids. I've worked with a lot of non-actors. So I do I've got a lot of stuff to draw on as a kind of a director in how to get good performances out of the kids. With the adult actors, of course, it's really different. You're talking about highly experienced actresses where you're exploring all kinds of really interesting techniques with them and so you modify or change what you might do for one actor. In other words, it might work for one actor but not another. So you've really got to have a very kind of broad range of experience about how to work with them. And it's just a very organic process, and you've got to bring yourself to that process as a person as well.
Now, another thing that really strikes me about all your films is the use of colour. And I'm going to use a pretentious term now, Mark, so
I'm ready to get away with it.
The mise-en-scène of your film is obviously very carefully thought about, and you've got a very bold colour scheme. I mean, I see that in all your films. What is your process towards colour and, you know, that it's almost, I don't know, it's almost like Douglas Sirk or Fassbinder, the way you approach colour in your films.
It's interesting because Fassbinder is one of my favourite filmmakers.
I knew it.
In fact, Corel is one of my favourite films. I love colour because it's so expressive and I just think that, you know, it's so great, it's wonderful to kind of use colour in quite a bold way. With this, with Blessed, we really talked a lot about the colours of the flame because it plays such a crucial role in the film. And we also had to find a way, because the journeys go through so many different landscapes, we had to find a way to kind of unify the film as well. So we really kind of worked with, you know, the blues, the yellows, oranges, the whole idea of the sunset, which is such a crucial kind of stylistic device that we use in the film.
And they're incredible scenes.
That just gives the kind of it just gives the film an expressivity which takes it beyond naturalism into what I call a kind of a heightened realism, which is probably, when you look back on all my work, you know, that's kind that. I would say that's a really kind of key feature.
Mm. Book of Revelations especially, I think, has that heightened realism. Mm. I'm writing that down as we speak.
You also made the decision to film on location in Melbourne's western suburbs. Why was that important for you?
Well, it was really important to kind of find a way to locate these characters in a particular landscape. And I thought about the possibility originally of shooting it in the northern suburbs of Melbourne.
Yep.
But I just kept getting drawn back to the western suburbs. It's a beautiful area to kind of shoot in. It's very kind of real.
Yeah, it's given it a really nice gritty realism.
Yeah,
actually,
so. And fundamentally these characters kind of, you know, that's the feel of, I mean, you know, that's the feeling of that always kind of felt, that's where the characters were, you know. The western suburbs is also changing enormously,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
The diversity out there is quite amazing. But it was a really kind of lovely way to kind of restrict ourselves in a kind of an area and actually just keep finding things that were interesting to us that really spoke to those characters and the kind of the world that they're living in.
Mm-hmm. Another remarkable thing about this film is it's one of the most intimate films I've seen, mm-hmm. and obviously you've made a very clear choice to shoot the majority of this in close-ups and medium close-ups, and I was aware of how little you see that in cinema. It's like people are afraid to get in too close to the face, and yet I think 90% of Blessed is consists of these remarkable close-ups.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I did joke with my DOP that, you know, we could shoot this whole film in close-up, and there are really large elements of the film where it's very much the camera is lingering on the faces of these characters. I talked a lot about almost caressing, you know, their faces in a really kind of significant way. And it does give the film an incredible sense of intimacy. And yet at the same time, I think it's also very cinematic as well. I love the close-up. And it just felt so right for this film.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a beautiful effect, and I think it really works for the message and the journey that this film takes you on.
One of the most harrowing and gut-wrenching scenes for any of the viewers of this film, I'm sure, is going to be the morgue scene. Now, amazingly, I hear that you got this in one take, but there was a bit of a story around that take.
There sure was. It was interesting because, you know, I remember when we were preparing for it. I mean, obviously, Frances and I had spent a lot of time talking about her character and her journey. And this is probably one of the most, you know, this is the emotional climax of the film. So there... And when we, you know, we gave ourselves enough time to just make sure that Frances was kind of in the right headspace to do it, you know, really kind of small crew in a room where we just kind of really waited for her to be absolutely ready. She and I said everything we needed to say between us. And she comes in, she does this extraordinary performance. We did it in one take. I kept the camera rolling through the whole thing because I knew that really it was going to be one take. Mm. And I sensed it the minute she walked into the room. She was just, her whole kind of physicality was just so there, so present. And then when it happened, it was so deep. I mean, she just completely transcends performance. She goes just to a very deep place. And when I called cut, I was so deeply moved, I was crying. And then we walked out and, you know, Frances and I were kind of, kind of hugging each other and kissing each other and sort of, you know, jumping, you know, sort of twirling around the corridor of this location that we were shooting in. And my sound recordist came up to me and said, "I'm really sorry, but I don't think we got it."
Oh, my goodness.
On sound. And at that point, I think everyone wanted to throw themselves off the building. It was just, like, really traumatic for us. But we did then discover that we had a secondary sort of backup recording, and so it was okay and it was all saved.
Thank goodness.
But honestly, it was one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever had as a director. You know?
I bet that's a lesson learned.
Yeah. Always have a backup.
Yep.
Always make sure that there's someone else pressing the other button.
Yeah.
That's right. What do you mean you forgot to press the button?
We're going to clone our producer, Alan, after the show now, just so we avoid that. No, we don't need to at all. Anna, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been great to be here.
Coming on the show today. We've been talking to Anna Kokonos, who is the director of Blessed, new Australian film, a very Melbourne film, which opens next Thursday.
Yes.
Thank you again. You're listening to Mark and Thomas. This is Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.